Baptism is a new beginning, and the Lord himself comes to the River Jordan to be baptized by John before he begins his public mission. God delights to declare his Son upon whom his Spirit rests. Hear the gospel of our Savior Christ according to Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Two events of global significance occurred during the past week. Both of them focused on a funeral. One funeral was that of Joseph Aloysius Ratzinger, born in Bavaria in 1927. Like the other man, he was elderly, aged 95, and was known for almost 20 years, not by the names he was given at his baptism, but as Pope Benedict, the leader of the Roman Catholic Church, until he announced his surprise retirement in 2013. The other funeral at the opposite end aside of the world was that of Edson Arantes de Nascimento, an elderly man of 82 who received the nickname at an early age, Pelé. Arguably, Pelé was the greatest footballer who ever played the beautiful game. Pope Benedict and Pelé grew up in very different circumstances. One was from a well-known family whose early adult years in Germany were dominated by the activities of the Nazi Party. Now, while his family detested the actions of the Nazis, the family of Pope Benedict were forced to comply with the requirements of that strict dictatorship. The other man, Pelé, was born near Sao Paulo, a huge sprawling city in southern Brazil, in conditions we would describe as extreme poverty. Two generations earlier, and he may have been a victim of the obnoxious slave trade, which was only abolished in Brazil in the 1880s. In mentioning two elderly men who died within recent days and who achieved fame in their lifetime, I wish to include this morning a third elderly man about whom we know little. He features very briefly in St. Luke's Gospel, who, along with Anna, greeted the infant Jesus when he was brought by his parents to the temple at Jerusalem as a 40-day-old baby, fulfilling the requirements of the Jewish law. In his own quiet way, I'm sure that Simeon, like the two other elderly men to whom I've referred, Pope Benedict and Pelé, experienced many memorable moments on his long journey through life. However, he is remembered in particular, I'm talking about Simeon, for the song which bears his name, the Song of Simeon, often referred to by its Latin name, Nunc Dimittis, a setting of which by the Dublin-born composer Charles Villiers Stanford will be sung by the choir later in this service. The old man Simeon met Jesus in the temple and recognized him as the Messiah. Nowhere else in the Bible is that account recorded. However, all four gospel accounts, including that of today, tell us about the meeting many years later Jesus had with John at the River Jordan. Now, this river may seem insignificant by world standards. It is much less than half the length, for example, of the River Shannon, but its importance cannot be overemphasized. For example, one of the greatest events recorded in the Old Testament was the flight from Egypt by the Israelites. It's called, as many of you will know, the Exodus. It was led by Moses, who brought the people out of Egypt across the sea near the present Suez Canal into the harsh terrain of the Sinai Desert. That journey took years. Eventually, the survivors arrived at the banks of the River Jordan. The crossing of that river, led by Joshua, which is reputed incidentally to have been shallow enough in some places to put stepping stones down, proved to be giant steps for the Hebrews or the Israelites. They moved out of captivity into the place which became known as the Promised Land. The conclusion of that journey, when they crossed the River Jordan, marked a new beginning. And from that point, there was for that group of people no turning back. The River Jordan features on many occasions in the Old Testament. One of the best known accounts is the healing of the Syrian leader Naaman from leprosy in the waters of that river. Now, fast forward from all that, and we read in the New Testament that we heard this morning that Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. The day of Christ's baptism, which is observed by many Christian churches near the beginning of the season we call Epiphany, was the start of his ministry. It was a sort of mission statement, outlining who he was and what his role would be. Just as there was no turning back for the Israelites when they crossed the River Jordan, so there was no turning back for Jesus when he went through a ceremony in that very same river. Most of us here this morning began our faith journey at some point in life. Maybe it was at our baptism, long before we were conscious of faith. On the other hand, maybe your baptism or confirmation later in life was a declaration of faith. Personally, I would liken my journey of faith to a trek across the mountains. There are peaks, and at other times, there are troughs. But the important thing is not the point at which we stand on our faith journey, but the direction overall in which we are moving. Today, we cannot travel in person to the River Jordan, although I was asked by my parish, during my parish ministry, on a few occasions to use water at baptism that had been brought by family representatives from that river. However, as we are transported back in time to the beginning of Jesus' ministry at his baptism, and as we reflect on people this morning who lived long and varied lives, we can think about our own baptism and its location, whether we remember it or not, and we can ask what Christian discipleship means to us at this stage in our journey of life. And hopefully, as we do so, it will give us personally and also collectively, as the people of God here in St. Columba's this morning, the confidence to move on, guided like Simeon by the Holy Spirit, with the words ringing in our thoughts and minds, that Christ came into this world as a light to lighten the Gentiles and to be the glory of his people Israel, that all of every race and of every age might accept him and believe. And so to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, be ascribed as his most justly due, all might, majesty, dominion, power, and glory, henceforth and forevermore. Amen.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who is spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray.
On this, the first Sunday after Epiphany, We will be using the second form of intercessions. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, strengthen your church in all the world. Renew the life of this diocese of Down and Tramore. In our diocesan cycle of prayer, we pray today for the parish of Cumber and its rector, Sam Johnson. We remember in our prayers their renovation works project and pray for all who live and work within their parish. Bless David, our bishop, John, our rector, Ken and Walter, our assistant priests, and Karen, our diocesan lay reader. We pray also for all their families. Bless everyone in our parish at St. Columba's and build us up in faith and love. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of creation, look with favour upon the world you have made. Guide the nations in the ways of justice and of peace. And bless Charles, our king, and all in authority. We pray for all